Hey, Katie.
Hi,
Oh my god, wait. I forgot to tell you. I'm gonna jinx myself. I should wait till the end. But I think I fixed my internet connection issue.
Okay.
We have two different internets. I don't know. One is like Netgear 15, and then like one is Netgear 17E. And Gil was like, oh, you should use the 17E. It's like a better connection. And I was like, I don't understand why we have two different ones. But we'll see.
What is thy purpose?
We'll see. I want to thank everybody last week for listening, because there were some areas where there was like a really bad echo. And I tried to edit it. Like, I worked on it so hard. So there were parts that like I couldn't get the echo out of, and there were parts that I edited, I think, really well. So I want to pat myself on the back, but I want to thank everybody for sticking around and listening to it, because we had a really great conversation with Maggie. Sometimes it just doesn't sound, sometimes the audio is just not the best. And it is what it is. We can't always help that. So thanks.
True that.
This week, we are just spilling the tea, as we always do. I know that last Spilling the Tea episode, we had what we were considering like our new segment. Basically, like, you know, what's going on in the bookish world or in the bookish community. And there was a lot really to discuss last time. This week, I have two things written down, but I figure we can start. Neither of us have read it yet, but the new Devney Perry romantasy book you have read it?
I'm in the middle of it.
You're in the middle of it? Okay, well, it was announced that there's going to be a film adaptation of it, which is, like, amazing. I haven't read it yet, so I feel like you can better comment on...
I can see, as of right now, how it could be adapted, but I can see it for a lot of other... books that have come out recently. I feel like there's been a romantic boom lately.
Yes.
And I'm not saying I think this could be great, but like, I also read a book called The Windweaver by Julie Johnson.
Yep.
And it kind of gives, they are not similar. I'm not comparing the two. They are an apple to an orange in terms of stories, everything, plot, you name it. Similarities and tropes being used, but executing differently. But the flow of the story, I think, could also then yield to a movie as well.
Yeah.
It was a short series, I think, also, for the two. I don't know. Like, I think it's because it's Devney Perry, but, like, I'm curious to see from what I've read how they do it.
Yeah.
How they do it well.
Yeah.
I can understand, and I can get it, my brain.
I feel like...
I like it.
Yeah, I feel like when we first started this channel, or like our page, we were mostly reading romantasy books, and then we kind of like... But I feel like there's like a kind of like a swing going back towards like the romantasy. I know like some people just like... never left. I feel like we did, and like we're kind of swinging back that way. And I know that excluding Game of Thrones, which was like before any of this, and obviously Game of Thrones isn't romantasy, but I'm just thinking like fantasy in general. I feel like at that time there was like a very big like, oh my god, this fantasy show is doing so well, like what else can we do? And nothing really lived up to that. So I'm curious to see, I think the Fourth Wing show will probably be the first of the romantasy series that actually comes out. So I'm curious to see like how it plays out and what kind of budgets these shows are getting. And Amazon, I believe, also picked up this Devney book. So I feel like Amazon is probably allocating a lot of their resources to like building up this genre. So I'm curious to see, because I know they have Wheel of Time. They have a few of these other fantasy shows.
I just feel like the Fourth Wing, I mean, I'm curious how they do it. I mean, it's a series you and I have both very much enjoyed so far.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not saying it can't be done, but a lot of like the fighting in the air on the dragon, that's where I get nervous.
Same.
That's going to be really hard. And again, I know there's technology out there that can do all this.
Yeah, but
if you have to make it executed right.
And if the CGI is bad, it'll be really hard to watch. And if any of you guys were Game of Thrones fans, the reason why the last few seasons there was like 2+ years in between was because of like the budget for the dragons and the CGI. And obviously now with Dance of Dragons, there's a lot more dragons in the show. So obviously the technology has improved where there doesn't have to, like, they can do it if they have the right budget. I don't know if Amazon Studios has the HBO Game of Thrones budget. And again, we're still waiting over a year, 2 years between seasons because of the they just can't make these dragons look great. So Fourth Wing, I'm holding out hope, but I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah. I have a good chunk left of the Deathly book. Again, I'm listening. I think the audio is doing extremely well. I'm really enjoying these romance authors going into these roles of a romancey, kind of like Rebecca Yarros, Beyonce, Debbie Perry now. It's delivering. Ivy Axel, like, she doesn't get enough honey.
Yeah.
She writes more like urban, which I very much enjoy. But I'm with you. We started out with romancey, but I feel like kind of like the happy romance boom and cowboy romance boom. Is everyone locked to write it, and not everyone can deliver?
Like, yeah. Honestly, for Devaney, and again, I haven't read Shield of Sparrows, so take it with a grain of salt. I would have loved to see somebody pick up the Edens as a TV show, because Yellowstone on Paramount is obviously like a huge show, and I think it ended. I mean, I watched the first 4 seasons, and then I kind of got sick of it. But I feel like there is like a little, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I feel like there is a space for these like cowboy romance or like ranch romance shows. And I just like love the Edens so much. And I feel like that would be such an amazing series. So if for whatever reason Shield of Sparrows doesn't work out, because just because something's been optioned doesn't mean it'll ever see the light of day. ACOTAR, obviously. Maybe they can just do the Edens instead, because who doesn't want to see that family come to life?
Who doesn't? Actually, speaking of another, I'd point you in one more bookish
news. Yeah, some news. Well, the casting of the off-campus series. So I know, like, I have seen so many videos of people, like, basically wanting to burn down their homes over this casting. And it's so funny because, so obviously, like, everyone in any book, series, movie, adaptation ever in the history of the world, people in their brain have what they believe the character should look like, what they think the plot should be. We all love these books and these stories so much that, of course, if it doesn't look or present itself in the exact way that we've been imagining in our brains, there will be cause for some disappointment. But I think people just need to, like, literally relax, because never in the history of the world has a book to series adaptation ever been 100% accurate to the source material ever. We love Hunger Games and like Harry Potter and things like that. They're not at all completely accurate to the source material. Game of Thrones, which we just talked about, literally there are complete character storylines, arcs, all these things you do not see in the show. Doesn't make the shows bad, but the source material is just like kind of like a guide, and then you have to update it to be able to like reflect well on screen. And so if plot things have to change, like, I'm just like not concerned. Even the Vampire Diaries, I loved those books. The TV show was completely different. Like, after season one, some of the characters and storylines were similar, but, like, it really went off the rails from the source material. A good example, because a lot of people are upset about, specifically, like, the Tucker casting. I just saw this actor in The Pitt, which is like one of my favorite shows this year so far on HBO and or Max, I guess is what it's called now. Anyway, the actor like has so much like charisma and swag that like I saw it and I was like, okay, he doesn't look like how Tucker's described in the books, but I think like he can encompass Tucker's swagger and like personality traits.
Which is very important too.
Which I think is honestly more important because you can cast somebody who looks like this character and this person like maybe can't deliver or act or anything. And that's even more disappointing. And I was like thinking of it and kind of like describing it in the way. So the Bridgerton series, which I know you've never watched, which is a source of conflict in our friendship, but it's fine. It is specifically season one is stunning. Like one of the best seasons of television. I don't care. I'm saying it now. Obsessed. Season two is also great. Season three, we pretend like it didn't happen. It was fine. But the Duke of Hastings in the books versus Duke of Hastings in the show, completely different people physically. And so Reggae John Page is the actor. Physically looks nothing like the way the Duke is described in these books. He is the most perfect casting that I think has ever happened. Like, so, like, first of all, beautiful man, the career, like, he is what brought season one of Bridgerton, like, to life. And I honestly think that, yes, everybody else is amazing, but I feel like season one, like, really got the attention that it did because of him. And if they had just casted somebody who, like, physically appeared to look like the guy who was written into the books, it would have been a completely different show and a completely different series. So, like, before anybody freaks out, let them, first of all, those headshots are nasty. Everybody has nasty looking headshots. Go look at like their previous works. Go look at their Instagrams. Go watch like other things that they've done. I feel like it really shows a different side to these actors. Also, let's just wait. Watch the pilot. If they can act, that kind of matters more than what they look like. And if it's, and if they suck, then they suck. And then we can all complain about it then. But like, let's not start calling people ugly and like picking them apart on the internet just because they don't look like what you imagined in your head.
I think just me as a whole, I'm so mean. I get it. Like you want these characters to live up to what you have in your mind.
Yeah.
They're not going to look like what you're envisioning. So back off the appearance.
Yeah.
And wait to see what they can deliver with their performances.
And we've said this a million times. If you want to be mean, that's what the group chat is for. You don't have to say it on the internet.
Don't say it on the internet.
Like, these are real people. Mm-hmm. These are real people. Say it in the group chat.
For nothing, if you're saying something to someone and someone ever said anything rude to you, like, what would your reaction be?
Yeah. If somebody's picking apart my appearance on the internet, I would have to go into witness protection. Like, that would be it. I would have to quit life.
I just don't think we should be in a world where we're preaching to be so kind to one another. Fucking assholes.
Yes. And again, if you watch, say you watch something with this actor in it and you're like, oh, he was such a bad actor and you want to criticize that, sure.
Fine.
But yeah. Like criticizing people's looks because of this fictional character that's never, that you just like
just
pictured. Let's just not comment on other real people. And people were commenting like mean things like on some of their Instagrams and like it was just, I'm just like, everyone, I think that everyone just needs to get off the internet for like maybe 10 to 15 months. If you're that kind of person.
Just take the social media break, please.
Take a year off.
Oh my gosh.
The
book that's blowing up Book Talk, which funny enough, only has, which I'm saying only, it's a lot, but I was expecting more.
Yeah.
8,000 reviews and is sitting at a 4.19.
Is this The Silver something?
By Danny Francis.
Yes.
Everyone and their mother has speculated about who actually wrote this, who is Danny Francis, and maybe the pen name. But like, it's a dystopian fantasy book. It's a trilogy. God bless people who are giving us duologies and trilogies. Not that there's anything wrong with the series, but you know, again, you know, just But there's 8 main people that want to read it, but everyone's talking about it, but I haven't heard a bad review yet. But I'm like, I don't know.
I have heard I have heard a couple bad reviews.
Okay.
And I know, so it's a book of the month book.
Yes.
And it was marketed as like Hunger Games for adults or like Katniss for adults. And I think people were like, okay, like it's nothing like Hunger Games, nothing like Katniss. It's its own thing. It's like, we've said this a million times, like, we should stop being like, oh, it's the new ACOTAR. Like, oh, it's the...
We have to do better with that as well.
I know. We do it all the time and we hate when other people do it. But I've seen some people, like, they have DNF'd it. So, like, and the thing is that people are like, okay, it has all this hype out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
It's a book of the month, debut author, but, like, no one knows who she is. There's, like, an Allie Hazelwood, I think, like, blurb in it or something like that. So everyone's speculating, like, who is it?
Yeah.
And there are some, like, crazy theories. Like, people are like, it's Colleen Hoover. Or somebody.
Not Colleen Hoover.
No. And someone even said it was L. Kennedy. I don't think. I mean, again, I didn't read it, so I can't, like, compare the writing. I just don't think it is. I don't know why. But now I'm dying to know. Like, I don't even care about reading the story. Now I just want to know who it is.
No, I want to know who it is. But I'm really intrigued. Like, this will, I'm listening to Little Sparrow. I'm reading Chark right now, essentially. And this will be, I can't decide if I want, I heard the audio is really good. So I think I might give the audio a try.
Okay.
I can do it faster. And I do find with, especially like a fantasy book, if I can't read it fast enough, I feel like it almost loses the hype sometimes.
Yes.
You're not like staying up with it. So I think I'm gonna listen after I finish the book.
Yeah, and I don't think you should do them both at the same time anyway. Like if you were reading,
yes.
I feel like that's way too much. But I know because they both came out on the same day, people are like, "Oh, like they're comparing the two."
So, whatever. We won't get on that tangent. But yes, like this will be next. I hopefully can report back next for like the tea.
You'll have to let me know.
Duh. I don't keep you posting the Chilling Sparrows. But again, I do how far along I am in, which is not very far, but it is really good.
Yeah. Perfect. I don't think that there's any other news updates and like news stories to report on. Those were the only ones that I had. Do you have any others?
I don't have any others either.
Okay, well then I want to talk about how I've been in my Regency romance era. Like, okay. I think I said this in the last Spilling the Tea that I was about to start my Regency romance era of reading. And since then, so in the last 2 weeks, I've read 4.
Oh my God.
yeah, no, I know. Including I finished one this morning. And I liked books 1 and 2 of the Wallflower series by Lisa Kleppis, I think is how you pronounce her last name. But I loved books 1 and 2 of Girl Meets Duke series by Tessa Dare. These two books. Okay, so it's,
I think I've heard of Tessa Dare and people love her.
Yes, she's like a very big like Regency romance author. I've heard of her a million times. And I just like went on KU. Okay, so I started the Wallflower series, but those aren't free on KU. So I was like, okay, I read the first two. I liked them. I'll probably like finish the last two books in the series eventually. But, and again, they're like $4 on Kindle, but Tessa Dare was on Kindle Unlimited. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to download these. And The Duchess Deal was the first book and The Governess Game is the second book. And they are so funny.
Okay.
Like, if you just want like banter and like silly little goofy, like I was just like smiling and kicking my feet the whole time while reading these. If you need like
Girl Meets Duke series,
Girl Duke. Meets Duke. Yeah. The first book is The Duchess Deal. Like in The Duchess Deal, the Duke. I know the Duke, his name is Ash. He is so funny. Like he is like this like cranky, he only curses in like Shakespearean like terms. Like he's just like, there's just like something so funny about these characters. I was just like having such a good time that, okay, so like spoiler alert, not spoiler alert, because I post it. Katie and I got the Rewind It Back arcs today by Liz 1040. And I mean, I read the first three chapters already. So, I mean, like, obviously I was like, I'm dropping everything to read this, of course. But like in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to get back to Tessa Dare and like read book three. Because like, that's how much fun I was having in this like little world of hers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just going through my Goodreads
them. Yeah, I think I honestly do think that you would like really enjoy them. Like they're like, it's just, they're just fun.
Okay, I'm here for it.
Yeah,
it's on my list. I'm taking my TBR very seriously recently. I think
you've done a really good job.
Thanks. I mean, I think I'm realizing right now that my time is extremely limited. Especially when it comes to eyeball reading.
Mm-hmm.
Like every night, like I'm gonna lay in bed and I'll read, and within like 3 minutes, I'm like, nah, I can't pay attention anymore. So I really try to save like my romance for the eyeballs, you can go through those faster eyeball reading. And if you kind of glaze over a second, it's not like the end of the world, or if you do that on a fantasy book, you're kind of fucked.
Yeah.
So that's, I like, I'm very like, no, I, this is okay. If Drew's just saying to do this.
No, yeah. I'm highly recommending them. I think if you've never read Regency Romance, it's a great book to start with. But I think like Katie, like I know you, and I think you will like be like cracking up while reading it.
I will say, Teresa picked some, you picked the winners for me, I will say.
And you know, like, I read a lot, and I'm not always like, oh, I think you should read it. And then there's books that I'm like, okay, like, I really think you should read this.
Well, you very much will tell me, like, maybe now.
Yeah.
So one of the books, I want to talk something about really quickly.
Yeah.
Passion Project.
Oh, well, yeah, now we can both discuss this, because I also read this.
So I thought, maybe if you and I timed this differently, because we had just read Promise Me Sunshine, and then the Abby Jimenez book, which is out of my mind at this point. But I think it was very closely read, those two books, so they had very similar plot points, if you will.
Yeah.
I thought whoever the main character was for the female, I kind of want to fucking bitch slap her. I do like that one point where she is vocal. She's like, just let me be miserable. Like, let me, like, I appreciate the vocalizing, like, the fact that this is what you want to feel. I do think it's also important to go through those stages of grief. Because, like,
yes.
You kind of gloss over them, they're going to resurface at one point or another.
Uh-huh.
But the one thing that completely knocked off a star rating for me is at the wedding. And I get it. I've never lost someone, a significant other.
Mm-hmm.
So take this with a bit of a grain of salt. However, whether you're trying to make someone feel good or not, I don't think you should be at the mercy of somebody else.
Yes, no, I agree.
So because she's saying to her, this is a boyfriend, right?
It was her boyfriend's parents, yeah, just okay, a boyfriend.
So boyfriend's parents, and she's kind of like doing to the mother how she was never going to have a love like her to deal with her son. And well, there's a little more about this aspect as well. Basically, blowing up the mom about how amazing her son was, and like she's never going to know a love like him, and she's never going to recover from him, which that's all true. That is fine. That is valid. I think it could be said in a different manner because. To me, she finds another love. And it might be a different kind of love. You found a love.
Yeah.
But you've also mentioned in the past that as much as you did love him, you started to realize on the other side that, like, you were going to break up with him. You were going to go do your own thing. You kind of felt like he was suffocating you a little bit.
Yeah.
You're lying.
Yeah.
Which is fucked up. But because she was saying all that, and like blowing up this woman about how amazing her son was, and her new boyfriend for hearing this, that's even more fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was him, if I can continue in a relationship with a person who says that he was saying this to make them feel better. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I think Henry, like, deep down, well, like, they do, I mean, I guess they do end things after that, because Henry's like, okay, like, it's not, this isn't going to work for me then.
Yeah.
Even though she says, she's like, I didn't mean it, I was just, like, saying it. But then she also, like, won't really, like, commit to him either. Yeah. Like, they're, yeah. But I think Henry, like, because he'd been, not, he hadn't been there from the beginning, but because she'd been so open with him about, like, everything, that he knew she didn't mean what she was saying, but she also, at that point, wasn't ready to be in a relationship with him. So I think he was, like, Henry was a very mature, like, honestly, amazing, amazing character. And I think he honestly knew that what she was doing, like, it was her way of self-destructing again.
Yeah.
And so he, like, didn't take it personally, but he also was like, okay, well, you're obviously still not ready. Like,
you're not ready.
And then obviously, like, whatever, she goes back and there's, like, there is some separation, and she ends up doing, like, her big, whatever it's called, declaration of, like, love. And it's very cute. He really just, like, does, like, he's just happy to be loved by her, I think. I didn't really love her character. I think it was a really interesting story to read. I don't think you have to always love every single character in a book. I do think loving the characters does make it more enjoyable. I did like seeing her kind of go through that kind of grief, but my struggle with the story in general was the timeline of things.
Yeah.
And then, like, because, okay, so Passion Project by London Sperry, I really liked it. It definitely was not even remotely as good as Promise Me Sunshine by Kara Bestone. Like, Promise Me Sunshine is a god tier book to me. I love that book so much. It's like, it's sitting on, like, a beach read, funny story, like, that kind of, like, level. Passion Project, I gave it 4 stars because I was really enjoying it while I was reading it. Like, I read it all in a day. Like, I kind of, like, sped through it. And I was, like, having a great time while I was in it. And I think that Bennett had a lot of really great redeeming qualities. Like, when she's, like, I forget the old man's name, but the guy who she works with at the library.
Angel.
Yeah, I think she had, like, I think, like, there were, like, a lot of fun aspects to the book. But then I think that she was just really annoying at times. And I didn't understand the timeline. So her boyfriend, so she moves to college. She becomes best friends with her roommate. And her roommate essentially then introduces her to her older brother, who I guess is at the same college as them. And the three of them basically are like a best friend group, but Bennett and I forget his name, RIP, sorry, they are together. And he's a year older, so he graduates her senior year. He's like, their whole thing was like, oh, we're going to move to New York together, blah, blah, blah. And she ends up, like, wanting to, like, look at schools or internships, like, out of state. She, like, doesn't, like, know where she wants to go, but she gets an internship in Chicago. She tells him, I'm assuming this is, like, over break or sometime early in the spring semester, because she ends up dropping out with 1 semester to go. Anyway, she tells him this. They get into a fight. They basically break up. He then is driving to go see her. Like, we need to talk about this in person. And he dies in a car accident. You don't really find out, like, anything other than that. Like, I was, like, hoping for, like, a little bit more. She blames herself, because if she hadn't taken this internship and they hadn't fought, then he wouldn't have been driving to see her. And so she drops out of college, which, like, I understand, because I think if, like, my boyfriend died my senior year, I would probably need to take a break.
Yeah.
So she ends up moving home, and then there's a part where she says, like, 2 years later, she, like, goes to visit Andy, who is her ex's sister, who's her best friend. 2 years later, she goes to visit her in California, and Andy is, like, kind of, like, you know, she has this great job. She just started dating this, like, really great guy. And Bennett is, like, how are you happy? Like, did you not even care about your brother? Which is a crazy thing to say.
Yes.
But it's been 2 years, and I'm not saying that, like, you should just forget it. But, like, there's been ample time to move on.
Yes.
At this, yeah.
No, wait.
Yeah. Does. So at this point, she decides that she's going to move to New York with her best friend from home, from her hometown in Pennsylvania. And they live there for, we don't know, X amount of time. And she's basically like, just like depressed and like just going through the motions of being a human being. Like, she works at a temp agency, so she makes just enough to like pay her bills. But she's obviously in a very deep state of depression. She spends like days in bed. She just like, you know, she's in a roller coaster. But I'm like, has it been 3 years since he died? Has it been like 2.5? Four has been 2.5. I'm like, when is this falling out with Andy happen? Because then Andy is like inviting her to the wedding still. But then they're I wish that there was like a more like concrete timeline. I don't know why, but like in my head, I was like, I need to know, is she 25? Is she 26? Like, is she 23? Obviously not. But you know, like, I don't know. I just needed more because I feel like there were just things that I was like, wait.
Yeah.
How long has it been? Anyway, sorry. Now you can go.
Oh, which I kind of like when she does have that moment with Andy. Andy basically is like, thought I was okay.
Yeah.
Like, I also just, and again, how do you comment if you've never gone through this? But like, she obviously didn't communicate with Andy. Andy wasn't communicating with her. You're seeing surface level shit. But it was nice when Andy said, if you thought I was okay, like, you're fucking crazy. That was my brother. Like, deep down inside therapy, like, she's kind of going through it, which I am glad she had that, like, come to Jesus moment with her.
Yeah.
What she was going through. Because, again, it was, like, not only you were impacted by his passing. I don't know. I feel kind of like an ass to say all this. Because, again, I can't relate. But, like, it was just one of those things where I was, like, it's almost, like, it was too surface. I think we need a little bit more and a different timeline.
Yeah.
Give me an annoying, you know, main character. I get it. Like, you can always have the effect in there. But, like, I don't know.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I don't know. I just, I just, like, wish that Bennett was, like, more working, like, on herself. Like, I think at the end, she starts seeing a therapist. Like, after the wedding. Yeah. I kind of wish that we saw her working with a therapist while she was, like, doing the passion project list with Henry. And okay, so Promise Me Sunshine, there is a bucket list. And it's, like, I love the aspect of it.
Yeah.
But, like, the bucket list is just, like, a fun, like, little thing to do. It's not supposed to help Lenny find herself. It's just supposed to be, like, a list. It was a list actually Lenny made for Lou. And a way to help Lou after her first bout of chemo. Like, to, like, start, like, living again when she was, like, in remission. And then obviously, like, Lou relapses and the cancer comes back and blah, 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 whatever, if you've read the book. And this, like, passion project thing is a way to for Bennett to, like, kind of find, like, what she wants to do in life. But then, like, they just, like, they're doing things that are just, like, I don't know. I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Yeah.
But I think the best part of it really was Henry.
I agree.
Yeah.
I gave it 3.5 stars. Because, and I think I gave it 3.5 stars because I think the narrator did a phenomenal job of delivering.
Well, I think the narrator was Alex Fink, and she did both books, right?
Yeah, she did a really great job.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she's literally amazing. I would listen to anything by her. I am happy. I mean, I enjoyed reading it. I know that you and Mary really liked the audio, but I said, fuck you about that, and I read it. Okay.
I do your own thing, right?
I read the new Mariana Zapata book, The Things We Water. And after waiting 3 years for a new Mariana Zapata book, I want to say that I was let down. So it wasn't bad. So the book, okay, so the premise of the book, it starts out, oh my God, what are their names, you guys? Nina. Okay, so Nina is the main character. And there's, like, the world, there's a magical world. Regular people don't know that there's magic. There was, like, a meteor strike however many years ago, and since then there have been magical beings. The concept was really cool. Nina is, she was abandoned at birth She knows that she's magical, but she doesn't know what she is. But she was abandoned at birth and adopted by werewolf parents. And she was raised in, like, a pack of werewolves. Her best friends are, they're werewolves, they're mated. And she's, like, kind of, like, never known, like, what she is or where she fits. And she, one day, is, like, she lives in a trailer. She works remotely, and she kind of just, like, lives in, like, her trailer. And she bounces around from, like, campsite to campsite and, like, whatever. Cool life. One night, there's a knock on her door. She, like, opens it. There's a, like, a basically, like, a little baby puppy left on her doorstep. And she sees red eyes in the distance. And, like, telepathically, the mom is, like, take care of him. I gotta go by. So, like, she has this, like, cute, like, little puppy, whatever. But she's, like, he's obviously a magical creature. She doesn't really, like, know what he is. And the older he gets, she has him for, like, 2 years. And something happens, and basically, like, one day his eyes turn red and his tail, like, sprouts like a little flame. And she's like, well, now I can't, like, I don't know what to do, because if anybody sees him, they'll know that he's not whatever. So I know it literally sounds so silly. The concept's great. So her best friend Maddie is like, you have to go to the ranch. My cousin is, like, the pack leader at the ranch in Colorado. It's, like, a safe... It's basically, like a commune. And, like, this, like, safe space for, like, magical creatures to, like, live in peace. The thing that I didn't love was that it kept being, like, magical creatures, magical creatures, magical creatures. And then, like, 98% of the magical creatures are werewolves. And then the other ones are just, like... not either, like, it's rude to ask somebody, like, okay, so if you're magical, you can, like, smell the magic on other people.
Okay.
But it's rude to ask what you are.
Okay, that makes sense.
That makes sense, because, like, yeah, right. But then, like, okay, so they get to the ranch, and there's, like, this, like, swamp monster around. And then there's, like, there are, guys, I'm, like, really not good at, like, folklore. Like, the half-goat, half-human... satyrs?
I think so.
There's mentions of, like, little, like, random things. There's, like, a Bigfoot. There's mentions of, like, other creatures, but it's mostly just, like, werewolves. And I was like, why not just make it? Like, instead of there being, like, every magical creature that's ever been talked about in history, why not, like, kind of, like, condense it down? I don't know. Like, I just feel like the world, she was, like, trying to build, like, this giant world, but then, like, it was almost, like, too small when, like, you were actually in it, if that makes sense.
No, I hear you.
So I just feel like I was, like, okay, like, half the time I was, like, okay, like, who is this? What is this? What? Everybody's a werewolf. She's not. I still don't really, like, know what she was. She's, like, death, basically. Like, her dad is, like, the god of death. Her mom, we don't really know. We think her mom was, like, the god of fertility. So there are gods that are, like, immortal, but, like, all of their children are mortal. What I liked about it was, like, the typical Mariana Zapata slow burn, kind of, like, it had all of that. I just didn't, like, love the world that she built, because I felt like it was just, like, very bad world building. Yeah, and she's, I mean, her, like, superhero, Gracie and the Grump, I really like that. That, to me, like, made complete sense. This one, I was like, she's just, like, throwing in too much, and I feel like it was, like, she was trying to do too much and did too little.
Oh, that sucks.
That's the perfect way to put it.
I got that.
Yeah.
I will tell you about, you actually put this up on, I don't even want to say a call, but we were talking about potentially doing it for one of our episodes of Yet the Book, Metal Slinger.
Yeah.
By Rachel Schneider. We are blessed to get these writers or authors to write. People are listening. I love that we are getting romanticy books where the plot and the world building doesn't make your eyeballs roll into the back of your head, and you hit the 20% mark in order to, like, enjoy what you're doing. This was, you're right in it. Somehow it just makes sense. You meet the main character. She is trained to be a guard. She is not from where she is living. She was abandoned. She's taken in by, I guess, the king and the queen and their son. But then, of course, what she comes out, and she's kind of like, I want to say the slums, but like not the nicest place to live. You're not allowed pets, but she has like a bird that keeps coming around.
Okay.
So essentially, she trains for a guard. Everyone is dying to go to this like one market, and the market is held at the place that for the community people that exiled the people that she's with now to a life at sea. So they're on board, like somehow they're living on board. They've never touched them. But like going to this market, like a rite of passage, everyone's dying to go because you're on land. So of course she has like this weird moment with this soldier, and she, it happens because she walks away from the king's son.
Okay.
And I guess like you're allowed to pick your mate, like you're picking your mate, so you're not really like needed, but you can pick, and he picks her, and they're best friends. So she's like, you're just picking me because we're best friends. Like, I don't know, she's kind of like in her feels. She like storms away about something, and this guard starts following her around, and he grabs her hand and pins her to ground, which makes sense if you're walking on something and it's not land. Okay. He touches her to like land, and he's like, I'm gonna cut your arm off, whatever. And the pain she's experiencing without even the knife touching her is like excruciating. So she's like, what's the fuck? So then a whole fucking fight breaks out. They have to catch the ship. They're all the way home, which everyone's like pissed off because they're like, we've been dying for this market, and here you are. All of a sudden, they're back home. A couple days later, we see like a rowboat in the middle of this water, and they're like, what the fuck? And it's someone, it's that soldier. So she's like, what the fuck's going on? She's like, I had this feeling, this guy's here to see me. So whatever, he comes forward, and like this guy's, he's like giving himself up, and he's gonna literally go right to the dungeons. And he's like, I just need to Bryn. So she's like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, like this huge storm comes. He's talking to him, he knows things about it. He's like, I know your real name, your mom is like all this shit. So now like she's like trying to help him. So like the morning of like her ceremony, like made it, like everyone else to have the mates as well, the storm rolls and she's like, he's gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
He stays in the dungeon, I'm gonna go get him out. Like swims, whatever, then they escape. They're like days on sea. They're kind of like forced proximity is at play here. He talks about like through mating and like how he does have a mate and talks about her. But in the back of my mind, like they're fucking mates. Like,
yeah, obviously.
This, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, this is dead giveaway. But the plot is just so seamless. You're taken right into it. You're so captivated. Then you like watch her blonde together. And then the ending happened.
Well, don't.
I'm going to tell you, I was on Berlin.
I've heard that the ending is like crazy.
I knew there was a plot twist.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. Like, who's dying? Like, kind of like thing. I'm like, someone, like, when I tell you, on a busy sidewalk street with people milling around, when I asked you, are you fucking kidding me? Out loud, I had to stop running for a second. Like, what the fuck just happened? Like, it was the plot twist of all plot twists.
I have to read it. I know.
No, like Teresa, like the book in general is good. And that's the thing that sometimes does think is not a fantasy or a romantic book, is like the book would be mediocre, but then also you get like a fucking epic ending. You're like, well, now I feel inclined to continue, and it's just going to be mediocre. Like, this was really good throughout. Like, I knew I was going to continue on anyway, but that ends. Shook.
All right. Well, I have it downloaded. I know that. I told you about it, so I should have read it first, but I didn't.
You did. Again, audio, terrific.
That's good to know. I have my backlog of audiobooks is astronomical, bless you, right now. So I'll probably just eyeball read. I get through books quicker with my eyes.
You gotta do it.
I'm also not going on like 4-hour runs like Katie is, where I can just like listen for 4 hours.
Yeah. It works out in my favor.
Yeah. I think that's like pretty much all that I've read.
I have one more.
I was gonna say, then you go.
I listened to House of White.
Oh yeah, how was that?
The Fredmender Chronicles by Maxim Martino. It was one of those books where like it kind of was interesting. It's an interesting plot concept. I think it wasn't executed well enough to like keep me wanting more.
Okay.
But again, one of those books where it probably sat at a 3-star throughout, and the ending elevated it to a 3.5.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to go.
Okay.
To be determined.
There's too many good books out there to waste your time on things that you don't care about. Unless you're me, and then you will. But
yeah, but then we have you to tell us.
Yeah. I'll be like, yeah, no, I read this 5-book series that I hated the entire time.
No, Teresa.
But I'll finish it, because now I need to know the ending. Next week, 2 major books come out. Left of Forever and Rewind It Back. And 2 books by our 2 favorite authors. Luckily, we don't have to choose because we just got Rewind It Back today. But by that point, we would have read them both. Not to brag, that's like not, I'm just saying, like, thank freaking God that I don't have to choose which one to read first.
True.
Because God forbid. Left of Forever, we read a year ago. It was last May that she sent us. Thank you to Tara. A very early copy. Which I think it was like one edit through, I think, at that point. It was like a very, very early yes. copy of it, and loved it. But a few weeks ago, I got the audio arc, and it's been a long time, so I can't compare the two, but I will say that, and I think, Katie, you felt the same way, that the audio...
It was amazing.
Yeah, like it was an audiobook that I would like get home and like not want to stop listening. The narrator just did like such an amazing job with the story and bringing the characters to life that I was like, I was at the gym and I literally had to stop and I texted Tara and I was like, I just need you to know how amazing this audiobook is, because she like, she sent me a snippet of it months ago just to kind of like, cause I was like, who's doing it? And it sounded good, but it was like literally like a 1-minute snip. I just couldn't believe how amazing the audio was.
No, it was terrific.
It really was so good. So if you're an audiobook fan, I suggest going that route, which I feel like for me to say like means like it really was like that amazing via audio. It's an amazing book though, in general. And I can't comment at all on the Rewind It Back audio, but I do know it is a duet and I will be downloading it immediately. Because, I mean, I've been doing a Windy City reread via audio. I have all the audiobooks for my mom, and it's paying off great for me because now I'm doing the reread via audio. So I'm starting Play Along like literally tomorrow. But TBD on that. Next week, however, we will be talking about Left of Forever. I think, because now I'm like, oh, do we want to talk about it the day after it comes out?
You let me know. If you want to do something else, we can...
Let's just stick to it. We're going to do Left of Forever next week. So the 21st will be the Left of Forever episode. The 28th will be... It was going to be Rewind It Back, but we're going to postpone that by a week because we're having Liz on. And we had to, like, coordinate our calendars. So the 28th, we'll just do a regular Spilling the Tea episode. And then June 4th will be the Rewind It Back with Liz on. So if you are a fan of the Windy City, stay tuned for that. We are really excited to get to talk to her again. And yeah, I think that's all we have coming up.
Yeah. As of now.
Literally, schedule subject to change because we had a different calendar. And thank God I didn't post it because we'd have to change it now because now we're postponing the Rewind It Back to have Liz on with us. So... That's what you can expect, but who knows? Maybe we'll just get bored and update it. We do that from time to time too.
We love to throw a little curveball at everyone.
We like to kind of just do our own thing when we feel like doing it, and it's our podcast, so we can.
So true.
But yeah, so that's the plan. Left It Forever, Spilling the Tea, Rewind It Back with Liz. Check the Instagram, or I don't know, whatever. DM us if you have any questions. On that note, though, Katie Jean, can you please send us out?
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.